Thank you, Rabbi Bernstein, and thank you so much for the invitation, particularly tonight. It's a special opportunity for me to be able to speak to the wonderful woman of Stern tonight. It's the yahrzeit of my mother-in-law, the 10th yahrzeit of my mother-in-law, who was a very learned and devoted Rebbetzin Shendel Feuerstein, Alei Shalom. And the topic that I'd like to talk about tonight is one that's very appropriate for her life's work, and it also happens to be this week's parsha, and to address the general Bin Adam L'Chaveiro focus that you asked me to direct towards. This week's parsha is Parsha's Vayera, and that parsha is crucial to the formation of the Jewish nation. It's where we find essentially the selection of Avram as the ancestor of the Jewish people. God expresses his great affection for Avram because he is a individual of chesed, because he is someone who has recognized that acting with kindness towards God's creations is the best way to seek out God, to become God-like. The Torah tells us many times in Sefer Dvarim, eight times Sefer Dvarim alone, v'halachta bedrachav, that we are meant to walk in God's ways. And the Talmud tells us in many places that we do so by taking care of people, by acting with chesed, that just as God takes care of people, so too that is our job. Avram realizes that, and he himself becomes the pillar of chesed, and is chosen to be the ancestor of the Jewish people. And what's particularly fascinating, and what I'd like to spend a few minutes doing with you tonight, is if we look at the opening psukim of this week's parsha we read this morning, will be read again on Thursday and on Shabbos. So we get to go over this a number of times this week. It was also this past Shabbos afternoon. The opening aliyah of Parshas Vayera is a very detailed description of Avram's act of chesed in one particular instance. And that, the reason the Torah goes into so much detail, the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Ahavas Chesed suggests that presumably it's here to model for us what chesed is, because chesed is not just an emotion or a feel-good kind of concept, but it is a sophisticated endeavor that takes skill and sensitivity and insight and perception, and we need role models. And to that extent, Avraham Avinu serves as such a role model. And the Torah goes into such detail so that we can try to learn from him, so that we can try to understand what are the messages contained in all of these psukim. So Chafetz Chaim started us off with that by calling our attention to this opportunity. And many of the Mefarshim, both those written long before the Chafetz Chaim wrote this, and also those who wrote more recently, made many different observations on these psukim. And I'd like to spend a few minutes looking at these psukim together so we could share and consider some of these lessons and take this opportunity to learn from Avram's chesed and seek to emulate him. And the idea that the chesed is a model for us is actually introduced with the first pasuk, where we find God himself modeling chesed. Like we said, v'halachta bedrachav, we are imitating God. God is chesed, and we act in chesed. And that's actually the name of the parsha. If we look at the very first pasuk, vayera is the name of the parsha. It's not just the first word, it's very significant. Vayera Elav Hashem. God appears to Avram, Elanei Mamre, Vuhu Yoshev Pesach HaOhel Kechom Hayom. That here, Avram is sitting in front of his tent, and God appears to him. So the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia gives us the background of the story, what exactly is going on. That essentially, Avram is recovering from his bris milah at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, right to the end of last week's parsha. So he undertakes a bris milah at an advanced age, and it's a painful process, and he's recuperating now. And God shows up. God appears to him. And that appearance Chazal tell us is a fulfillment of the notion of Bikur Cholim. So here again, we have God modeling Chesed, teaching us that that's what we are supposed to be like and what we are supposed to do. And there's more detail to the story. So the Gemara also describes that the presumption was that Avram needs a rest, that Avram spends all of his time taking care of people, but now he's recovering from the surgical procedure. So he needs to take a day off. So God arranged it that it would be a very hot day outside. He took the sun out of its covering. He made it very intolerably hot out in the roads, out in the desert. And the result was that nobody was traveling. So Avram got to take a little bit of a break. However, that's not really what Avram wanted. And here we also find some instruction to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, that when somebody comes to visit a patient, there are various functions that he's trying to accomplish, as the Ramban discusses in a Sefer Torah Sa'adam. And one of the goals of Bikur Cholim is to try to provide for the chola whatever he might need, whatever you can do to help. I remember when I was a child, my father, Zechor Levracha, used to make me on Bikur Cholim trips, and he would always call in advance to ask what kind of ice cream does the patient like, because that's a part of the mitzvah. You come to bring them what they need. So here God says to Avram, I'm here. What can I do for you? And Avram is not interested in ice cream. He's interested in chesed opportunities. He says, here I am alone here and I'm miserable because I want to be able to do something. I want to be able to help people out. I want to be able to express my midas chesed, and there's nobody here. So what's the next thing that happens? Visitors show up. So in this one pasuk already, that's really the background to the story, we find God modeling the chesed that Avram is going to model from here on in. So the next pasuk tells us, Vayisa Einav Vayar, Avram looks up and he sees what's happening there. V'hinei shlosha anoshim nitzavim alav. There are three men, they look like men, who were standing by him. Vayar vayaretz lakrosam, and he saw them and he ran to greet them. Mipesach ohel vayishtachu aretzah, from the entrance of his tent, and he bows down to the ground. So here we find a lot of things. We find his eager, enthusiastic embracing of these guests, and that's itself a lesson. We know there's reason, makdim in the mitzvos, that we want to display eagerness in everything that we do, but especially when it's an interpersonal mitzvah where that eagerness can be appreciated and can also make someone feel comfortable. Rashi suggests that they were standing there because they didn't want to trouble him, they didn't want to come closer, and he jumps out to greet them. And Rabbi Avraham Pam, the Rashi Vitar Vidas, commented that perhaps the most extraordinary part of the whole story is that he noticed them at all, that normally somebody who's recovering from a procedure is not going to be able to be focused on others, is going to be self-absorbed, as is the normal way in such circumstances. But the fact that Avram requests guests, he's able to perceive when there are guests who are waiting, that's already a tremendous indication of just how committed and how devoted he is. So he gets up and he runs to bring them inside. And as Rabbi Bachya points out, other commentaries note that the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, if we translate the words, so it means to bring in guests. It means to not only be there when they want something, but to actively seek them out and to bring them in. That's what a hachnasa is. And it's that both literally and figuratively, as others note. So it's physically bringing them into your domain, and also figuratively absorbing all of their needs. And that's one of the reasons why this is such a ideal example of chesed. As some note, you have a mitzvah like hachnasas orchim. Hachnasas orchim is actually perhaps the consummate chesed. It contains all the different ways in which you could take care of someone else. It's all rolled up into chesed, and normally rolled up into this chesed of hachnasas orchim. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that there's different categories, different tiers of chesed. There is chesed sheba mamono and chesed sheba gufo. There is the chesed that one does with his resources, what we also call tzedaka, and there is the chesed that one does with himself, with his service, with his attention to people. And while those are two distinct categories, Hachnasas Orchim essentially combines them all into one and brings them together. So somebody who needs a meal, somebody who's hungry is going to be provided essentially charitable service. That's the idea of Hachnasas Orchim on one level. But in addition, and equally important, as the Ma'aril and others point out, there is the idea of simply providing attention and honor to somebody who's not necessarily needy in any way, who's not necessarily poor. So we have both of those components, and that's reflected in this consummate chesed. And sometimes it has an aspect of tzedakah, and sometimes it doesn't. That may have some halachic ramifications as well. If I quote my father again, I remember as a child, so we used to, Friday night, we'd be singing Shalom Aleichem, and if it got very schleppy, father would occasionally quote from the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim had apparently said that maybe we should leave Shalom Aleichem to the middle of the meal, because Shalom Aleichem is for the angels, and the angels don't get hungry. The guests, they get hungry. The human beings are hungry, so we should feed them. We shouldn't take care of the angels first. So I used to hear that growing up. Later on, I got to find in many Sfarim that story indeed quoted in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. But there's two versions. So one version is actually quoted in the Sefer Dvar Avram, was that he said this specifically when he had needy guests at his table, when there were people who otherwise wouldn't be eating, and it was an aspect of tzedakah. So the Torah tells us regarding tzedakah that we're not allowed to delay, bal tacher. So we have to provide when the need is present and not leave the recipient waiting any longer than necessary. So it could be that that's why he rushed to get to the meal, because he had needy people at the table. Others quoted, stop, there's just there are people there, so you don't want to keep them waiting, and go right to it. So we have these dual aspects of Hachnasas Orchim, to provide for their material needs, and also to show them honor. And here he's ready to do both. So he speaks to them in a very respectful fashion, and we see that he bows down to them. And the next pasuk is really quite staggering. And to understand the implications of the next pasuk is really quite a big deal, because it's on a simple level, on a pshat level, it's quite impressive as far as the attention that Avram gives, but there's actually a whole different level of interpretation to this pasuk, which takes it into a whole different world. The one hand, there is the more literal translation. The Gemara in Maseches Shavuos tells us the two opinions how to read this pasuk. So if we rely on this English translation in front of us, that's the more simple translation, the Sefaria translation here. So it says, Vayomar Adonai, imno motzasi chein beinecha, al na savor me'al avdecha. And so how does that translate here, the simple translation in the English here? My lords, he's speaking to these gentlemen, what he thinks is gentlemen, he's speaking to them in a respectful fashion. He's calling each one Adon. So the plural is, my lords, I'm asking you, do me a favor. Don't pass by me. Stay here. Come in for a little bit to have something to eat. Let me take care of you. Do me a favor. So on a pshat level, this pasuk already conveys a lot about just how respectful and how solicitous Avram is of his company. But the Gemara tells us there's also a possibility that this pasuk actually means something very different than that. And that second word, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, should actually be read as Shem Hashem, that he was actually speaking to God, because we know from the first pasuk that God was with him. God had come to visit him, to Mevaker Es Achola. So here he's still in the middle of that interaction. So essentially, what is the pasuk telling us? He's saying, please, God, if I have found favor in your eyes, don't leave. Just wait here. I got to go take care of them. So if you could just wait for me so I could go handle these guests. And the Gemara in Masach HaShabbos and Daf Kuf Chav Zayin understands from here that that's presumably what's happening, that Avram is interrupting a meeting with God in order to take care of guests. So we see from here, Gedola Hachnasas Archim Yoser Mehakbalas Pnei Hashchina, that to attend to guests is even greater than receiving the divine presence, because Avram interrupted that meeting in order to take care of his guests. So that's tremendously impressive as a lesson to us. So we're looking to Avram as a model, and he teaches us that Hachnasas Archim is even more important than receiving God. That's amazing for us to learn from him. But the question you could ask is, how did Avram know it? That's a pretty bold move, right? Who told Avram that this was a good idea, that when God is there, he should say, please wait, I got to go pay attention to those people? So this was a question the Noda Behuda posed to Rav Shimon of Spitzkanova, and the response that he got was that perhaps he could figure it out from the story, that here, at first, there was nobody on the road in order to give him a break. And the implication being that if somebody does show up, then he should indeed interrupt and take care of them. So he understood that that was the implication of them appearing at this point. Rav Shach actually suggested that Avram understood that he should do this because imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So if he wants to be mechabed God, the best way to do that is to take his model, is to imitate him. And as we've seen, so God already expresses chesed in order for us to learn from him. We saw Bikur Cholim two psukim ago, but also Achnasas Orchim. God created Gan Eden, and he put Adam and Chava in there, and that was an act of Hachnasas Orchim. The Pasuk suggests he gave them a place to rest. And he also created the entire world for all of us to live in. Rav Soloveitchik had a drasha about this, where he commented, this is the ultimate act of tzimtzum, of God contracting himself in order to make space for someone else. And he taught us this idea of Hachnasas Orchim. So if that's the case, so Avram realized, so what better kavod could I show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu other than to imitate him and to take care of people? So he realized that that's what he should do. So indeed, that's the case. And this idea of Gedol Hachnasas Orchim Yosem Mekbalsh Pnei Hashchina doesn't seem to be that it's just trying to impress us, actually brought by Halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam actually quotes this. So why is that there, La Halacha? How often is this going to come up? I don't know if this happens in your households, that you're have guests coming to the house and it happens to be that you're busy receiving a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So I don't know how often this comes up. So why is this quoted La Halacha? The Baal Shem Tov suggested that it has meaning for us because sometimes you may make a decision that if you want to spend Shabbos by yourself, just with your family, so you might have a very elevated spiritual experience, and you'll have Divrei Torah, and you'll have Zmiros, and you'll have all kinds of wonderful ruchnius at your table. And if you're going to invite a person who needs an invitation, so maybe it's not going to be on the same level at all, and maybe the conversation is not going to be so elevated, and it's not going to be about Torah, and maybe it's not even going to be appropriate conversation. And you might say that having this guest over is going to really impact on my ruchnius, on my kabbalas pnei hashchina. Nonetheless, says the Besht, that's the idea, gedol achnasas archim yosem mehakbalas pnei hashchina. And the truth is, there's a hint of this earlier in the Meiri. The Meiri, in his commentary to Masach HaShavuos, the way he reads what's going on here is that here God is visiting Avram. Avram is interacting with him, and he knows that if he's going to take care of people, it's going to disrupt his conversation, his concentration. He's going to have a very hard time being able to maintain that connection. But nonetheless, the message is, okay, still, it's worthwhile. It's a worth it trade-off, because taking care of guests is such a prioritized activity. And Rav Shechter quotes in Upnini Harav that Rav Soloveitchik understood that this also has implications for other aspects of halacha, that it represents the balance that we always have, trying to, on the one hand, recognize that all of humanity is nothing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, God created the world for us and acknowledged our chashivas and our dignities. So we're always balancing those two themes. And for example, when it comes to Shemona Esrei, so we're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, so we have to be very focused and we can't interrupt for anything, no matter what. And if we're in the middle of Kriya Shema, so the Mishnah says in Brachos that in the middle of Kriya Shema, we're also not supposed to interrupt. But if somebody comes up to you who maybe doesn't realize you're in the middle of Kriya Shema and needs attention, needs to be greeted, whether they are a king who needs to be greeted because of their great covet, or whether they are any person who needs to be acknowledged. So there is a whole system in the Mishnah for interrupting in order to do that. And the Chafetz Chaim, his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, he explains that this reflects the fact that there are mitzvos involved in saying hello to people. It's an aspect of kavod habrios, of acknowledging human dignity. And that all of that is so important that it may even justify an interruption in the middle of Kriya Shema. So Soloveitchik understood, as Rav Schachter quotes, how did they know that? Where did the Mishnah get that then from? They got it from Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu understood that even in the middle of Hakbalas Pnei HaShechina, we would interrupt in order to take care of someone. It's quoted in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman and others, that if you're about to go to a shir, or about to go daven with a minyan, and somebody shows up at your house and there's no one to take care of them, so that would indicate that better to take care of the guests, because again, gedola achnasas arachim afilu mehakbalos pnei hashchina. Okay, so fine. So he brings them in and he's ready to take care of them. And then the pasuk tells us, he starts giving some instructions and some arrangements. He says, yukach na ma'at mayim v'rachatzu rag lechem v'yishanu tachas eitz. Let's bring over a little water and you can wash your feet and lie down under the tree. So here, this idea of bringing water to wash their feet and to lean under the tree. So that's an acknowledgement of the other aspects of hospitality. It's not just about the food and the drink, but it's also about realizing that people need to wash up a little bit. You have to point out where the washroom is. You have to provide for their hygienic needs. You have to give them the opportunity to sit down and to relax a little bit. That's all a part of it. It's also striking that here it says, yukach na. So yukach na suggests that he didn't bring it himself. He had somebody else bring the water. So why did he have somebody else bring the water? So some understand that it's because he couldn't do everything at once and he's going to want to focus on the bread, which is the main part of the hospitality we'll read about in the next pasuk. So he had to get somebody else to bring the water. Even though otherwise, you see, he's doing almost everything himself. And Chazal pick up on that as a major theme, that here we know, on the one hand, mitzvah bo yosr mi b'shlucho, that it's always preferable that even when a mitzvah could be done through getting the assistance of the agency of another person, but if you could do it yourself, then that's ideal. And some of the commentaries point out that here it's even more than that, because it's not just with mitzvahs in general. We still want you to do it yourself so that you can have the schar of the mitzvah and that you can have greater personal involvement. But here the whole notion of hachnasas arachim is itself expressed through personal attention. So the fact that you're doing it yourself is a chelek of the mitzvah, is integral to the experience of itself. So ideally, he's trying to do everything himself, but some parts he has to get some assistance for, either because he can't do everything at once, or maybe because if this is indeed water for hygienic purposes, so maybe it's not so comfortable for them that the distinguished balabas here, that Avram, should be bringing that himself. They want a little privacy for that, so let somebody who's a little bit less intimidating than Avram bring that over. And that could also relate to the next part of it. So here we just focused on the first two words, yukachna, but what about the next? So ma'at mayim. So bring a little bit of water. So why only a little bit of water? So here some of the commentaries say, well, if it's there for hygienic purposes and to help them clean up from the trip, so you could understand the way he's phrasing things. You don't want to say, yeah, please come on in, and boy, do you need a shower. I'm going to bring you a whole ton of water so that you can really clean up. You want to be a little bit more discreet about it. So he said, we'll bring a little bit of water. You look pretty good, but maybe you want to freshen up a little bit. So we'll bring a little bit of water. There is another suggestion that Bavaji Yosef is quoted with making this suggestion, and a number of others, that maybe this is evocative of a story much later in history involving Rabbi Saul Salanter. That there's a story often told that Rabbi Saul Salanter was a guest at the home of a wealthy individual who was trying to show him great style. And he noticed that when it came time to wash for the meal, that Rabbi Yisrael was very stingy with the water, that he was washing with a very small amount of water. So the host asked him, but doesn't it say in the Shulchan Aruch that when you wash, you should have a lot of water, you should have copious amounts of water, so how come you're only using a little bit? So Rabbi Yisrael responded to him, that it's true that ideally you would use a lot of water, but I noticed as I was coming in here, so here your house is on the top of a hill, and the water comes from the well that's the top of the other hill. So the woman who works here, she's got to go down the hill and up the hill to get the water, and down the hill and up the hill to bring it back. So if I'm going to use a lot of water, it's going to mean more trips for her. So better I should use less water, and she shouldn't have to make so many trips. So if that's the case, the suggestion is maybe here, if Avram was doing it himself, he'd be happy to bring a lot of water. But since he was having somebody else, for reasons we just discussed, he was having somebody else bring the water, it's okay. So you can't impose so much on somebody else's account. So you take a little bit of water. Don't take so much. Get a little bit for these purposes. And they'll wash up and they'll relax a little bit. And then what? So the next pasuk tells us. So then he tells them, "V'yachafas lechem v'sadu libchem achar tavaru ki al kein avartem al abdechem v'yomru kein tasek asher dibarta." So he says, "Okay, I'm going to take a little bit of bread, and you can eat, and you can get your koach back, and then go on." And that's what he's instructing them. Ki al kein avartem al abdechem, because I see you've come. My way for that purpose. So here there's also a lot to notice. So first of all, he says, V'echapas lechem, I'm going to take a little bit of bread. So we'll see in the next psukim that he's doing a lot more than that. It's going to be a much more lavish meal than just a little bit of bread. So why is he describing it that way? So this is reminiscent of a phrase you're probably familiar with, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that tzaddikim have a policy, a mor ma'at v'asei harbei, that you should not speak so much, don't overpromise, just speak in a limited way, but deliver much more than you promise. Don't be a big talker, be a big doer. So this idea of having such a policy of speaking little and doing much is actually applied specifically in the context of Hachnasas Orchim, appears in the Gemara and Bav Metzia as well. So here Avram is modeling that. And in addition to it being a good policy overall in life, it's particularly relevant to Hachnasas Orchim. Perhaps among other reasons, because it is going to make the guests feel a little bit uncomfortable if when they come to your house and you say, boy, am I going to go all out for you? I am really going to drive myself crazy just to make you happy. It's not going to make them so comfortable. So you say, yeah, I'll get you a little bit of something. And then when it comes time to deliver, you're going to deliver a lot more. Some also suggest that perhaps the idea is that just as it's important for the host to be gracious and polite, it's also important for the guests to be gracious and polite, and you have to get a little bit of a sense of that. So he wanted to test them perhaps to see, okay, would they sound like that they're happy with that? Do they sound like they are satisfied with a little bit? Are they going to say, that's all we're here for, from the great Avram? That's pretty disappointing. So to get a sense of just how gracious they were is also important. And on another level, Yisrael Salanter himself pointed out that there was another kind of a test here that, as we've said, so Hachnasas Orchim applies both to aniyim and to those who are not so needy. And it requires different kinds of approaches, that if you have somebody who is starving and who doesn't have food otherwise, so you want to get to the food right away. And if you're hosting somebody who's more interested in an honorable treatment, so then they're not rushing to eat. They want to have a more leisurely kind of meal. So Avram hadn't really figured out which one they're yet, which type they are yet. So he's testing the waters by offering both. So first we'll put out a little bit of a bread basket and see how that goes. And that will take the edge off the hunger. And then we'll also offer a much more elaborate meal and see if that's really what they're here for. So fine. So he'll take a little bit of bread and he'll give them what to eat. Achar tavoru. So that sounds a little funny, right? So basically saying, yeah, you can come and eat, but make sure to leave after that. And so what's going on with that? Why is he telling them now that they'll leave after they finish eating? So there are a few suggestions here that sometimes you have a guest who really could use a meal, really is hungry, but is hesitant to take any hospitality because he's in a little bit of a rush. And he's afraid that if he's going to accept an invitation to come into the house, he's going to have to make conversation, he's going to have to make small talk, so it's going to be significantly delayed. So Avram's saying, don't worry, there's no reason for you not to come in because you'll be able to leave whenever you want. You can eat and get your nourishment, and then you don't have to hang around the schmooze with me. You can leave right away. That's not going to get in your way. Others suggest that he was also conveying to them that I'm not going to serve you anything that's going to get you sick or get you drunk. We see we don't find any alcohol here. It's nothing that's going to stop you from traveling. And the perception seems to be that he realizes that they don't seem to be people who want to stay. And that's why the commentaries point out he doesn't offer them a place to sleep, because you see in the first pasuk, it's the middle of the day still. There's a lot of time left before it's time to go to sleep. And they seem to be in somewhat of a rush. So he's saying, okay, I can perceive that this is what you're interested in. You're not interested in sleeping over. You're not interested in being kept with long conversation. So don't worry. You'll get your fill, and then you're back on the road. Others point out that maybe it's also a reference to the fact that they'll be able to keep eating after that, that he'll send them some seidel l'derech, he'll make a doggy bag, he'll wrap it up to go, so they'll also be able to have with them when they travel. And all of that is a part of his hospitality. And this next part of the pasuk, ki al kein avartem el avdechem, that for this you have come here to your Eved. So there's an interesting comment. There's the author of the Eshel Avram, the Buchat Shurav, for a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch called the Eshel Avram. So there's a commentary on the Sefer Chassidim called Mili de Chassidusa, where he notes that we mentioned before that the idea of Gedol HaChnasas Orchim Yoser Me'akbalos Pnei Ashchina, and the Gemara has another statement that's even more important than Bittul Beis HaMedrash, that it takes priority over learning. So normally the rule is that if somebody is involved in Torah study, so Torah study is a surprising exception, that for mitzvos in general, we say Ha'osek B'mitzvah, Patum in a mitzvah. If somebody is involved in one mitzvah, so he's exempt from interrupting for another mitzvah. But Talmud Torah, as hallowed as Talmud Torah is, nonetheless, that's the exception. And we don't say that if you're involved in Torah learning, that you're pater from everything else, but rather you do interrupt Torah learning to take care of other mitzvahs, assuming that you're the only one who can do it. If there are other people who can do it, so then, okay, fine, let the other people do it, then you continue your Torah learning. So there's a discussion in Poskim, the Chafetz Chaim and others take up the question. So when it comes to Achnasas Orchim, so like we discussed before, so maybe you're about to leave the house to go to a shir, and there are guests who show up at your house. So we said before that if you're the only one who can take care of the guests, so you should take care of the guests and not go to the shir, not focus on learning right now. But what if there are other people who can take care of the guests? So should we say, fine, so the rule is normally if there are other people who can do it, should let them do it, then you should stay learning. So that's how the Chafetz Chaim and others assume. Rav Asher Weiss has a discussion about this in Sefer also. So in the Mili de Chassidusa, so he writes that he's not so sure. Maybe you should do it davka yourself, even if there are other people to take care of it, because Hachnasas Orchim is not simple providing of services. It's about personal attention, and everyone makes his own unique contribution in that way, and the host has an opportunity to honor his guests in a way that no one else could. So the fact that there may be others in your household who can attend to the guests, that's not going to necessarily replace what you could do if you're actually there to be available. So he suggests that maybe that's what this pasuk is telling us. He's talking in a providential sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you my way because I've been selected to take care of you. My unique personality is a part of this mitzvah, and I can't give it to anyone else in my household to say, okay, you guys take care of it, because I need to give personal attention, and that's something that no one else can do. Interesting, Hara. So, okay, so that's what he says to them. And they say to him, sounds great. Yes, please do that. We'd be happy for such a service. So now we see that it's much more than just bread. So the Amoher Avraham, he rushes again. Ha'ol el Sari goes into the tent. Sari to the Yoram Mahari, Shloshim Kemach Solas, Lushi, Vasi Yugos. So get together quickly three saws of flour. And you should knead them and make some cake. The Ahabakar Rats Avraham, and then he ran to the herd. And Vayikach Ben Bakar Ach V'tov. And he takes, I have to scroll down a little bit here, he takes a calf that's good, and it's all choice, it says here. Vayiten el hanar v'yamar el asososos. And he gave it to the boy, and he rushed to do all this. So here, okay, so we see that it is quite a extensive meal that he's giving them. And it's really quite lavish. It's really something. So that itself, all of this detail is very interesting. And what about Vayiten el Hanar? So here we do see again him involving somebody else in this project. So why is he doing that now? Why is somebody else involved at this point? So here we have to again wonder about the translation. So the English translation here says he gave it to a servant boy. But the other Rishonim say that it was Yishmael that he gave it to, and that it was his son, and that this was for the purposes of chinuch, that this was for the purpose of education. He wanted to make sure that his family understood what their mission of that family was, and they involved them as much as possible in his acts of chesed. So that was intentional, to bring Yishmael into the picture. Vayikach chama v'chalav. So here, this is a whole different topic, which is not our topic for tonight, but the question of why he's apparently serving them basu b'chol, he's serving them milk and meat at the same time. So that there's a lot to explore, but there's it's too much in Sefer Vayera to talk about in any one evening, in any one week, and even just any one aliyah you could talk about all night. So we can't get into those sugyas tonight. But okay, it's interesting that he is giving them meat and milk, and Vayitain Lifnaim, he puts it in front of them. Omed Alehem Tachas Aitz V'Yochelu, and he is standing by them while they eat. So here the commentaries again note that there is a lot involved in what's going on. So he's standing by them, standing accessible. He's available if they should need anything, but not standing too close. He doesn't want to intimidate them, and he doesn't want to suggest any status differential in the way he's positioning himself. All of that is a part of the hospitality, and ideally he's not standing too close. It's a halach in Shulchan Aruch people aren't always aware of or sensitive to. You're actually not supposed to stare at somebody when they're eating. You shouldn't look too closely at somebody when they're eating. It causes embarrassment and discomfort. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch like that. So he wasn't standing too close, but he was standing available. Okay, so we'll pause here for a second, because now the story changes focus. But what we see is that we have all of these psukim teaching us the path of chesed and recognizing that we need to have a role model in order to learn. And it's also striking that this message was expressed by the Chafetz Chaim and others before him and after him, including Chazal, because the whole idea of the Haftorah is to echo or to replace, depending on the circumstances, the theme of the Parsha. So Parshas Vayera, like we were saying a minute ago, you could find the whole world to discuss the Akedahs in the Parsha, destruction of stone. You could find themes forever in Parshas Vayera. But what we find in the Haftorah, it's from Malachim Beis, it's the story of hospitality again. It's the story of Elisha and how he is taken care of by the Isha HaShunamis. And apparently Chazal are saying, here's the message to pay attention to, the importance of Hachnasas Archim, and that you find there also psukim that are commented upon by some of the Svarim in order to teach lessons, and where the Pasuk says over there that the Isha Shunamis sets her from, first of all, a special suite, their best room in her house. And she shows him, okay, here's a bed, and here's a table, and here's a lamp. And some suggest that this is the order in which you'll need things, that even before you eat, you need to sometimes relax a little bit. So here's the bed to lie down on. And the Kutzker Rebbe had an observation in a different way. He said that really he was going to eat first, but it's also important for your Yishuv Hadas, for your sense of comfort, to know that the bed is waiting for you, to know that you're taken care of and you have all of the amenities. So she makes sure to tell him, okay, even before the table, here's the bed. So the theme of Hachnasas Orchim is taught in such great detail in the Parsha, and it's also echoed in the Haftorah. So continue, if you go down a little bit, so you find that there's more to it. You find that after he finds out what they're there for, and after he has the whole interaction regarding stone, so then the pasuk says, okay, so we'll, okay, he goes back, okay, so yeah, sorry. Sorry, take a second to find. Okay, so before that, so sorry. The pasuk where he sends them on their way. Sorry for the scrolling. Where'd it go? Here it is. Sorry, you just passed it. So yeah, Pasuk Tesvav, the Pasuk Tazayin, right? There it is. Okay. So V'yakumu Misham Hanashim V'yashkifu Al Pnei Sdom V'Avram Holech Imam L'Sholcham. So Avram walked with them to send them off. So there you have one more aspect of Hachnasas Orchim. You have the idea of Levaya. You have the idea of escorting your guests, which was also a part of what Avram modeled. And in the Rambam in Mishneh Torah makes a very big message out of Levaya, so that's even more important than everything else. And it's a question what exactly is meant to accomplish and why we don't see people so makbid on it b'zman hazeh. So it seems to have two functions. One, that it's a part of the kavod, it's a part of the honor that is shown to the guests. So we escort them out, at least Dalet Amos, for that purpose. But also it has a component of protection, that if somebody is in a strange place and they don't have Google Maps and they don't have an iPhone, so they're likely to get lost and be put at risk. So for the sake of protection, it's important to make sure that they are accompanied until they get to a safe point. So b'zman hazeh, we don't find people as makbid on that. And some of the commentaries suggest that nowadays the streets have signs and they have street lights and we have a little bit more of a protected environment, if that's true. Not always true, but that may be part of it. It's one sefer, the Be'er Sheva, Masech Sota, has the whole opposite interpretation. He says that nowadays it's so dangerous outside that it's too risky for the Balabas to escort out. But most assume the opposite way, that it's safer than it was, and maybe that's why it's less necessary. But at least a little bit as an expression of kavod is for sure necessary. And Lubavitcher Rebbe in one of his sichos suggested that the reason why this is such a big deal is because when you give somebody a meal, you give somebody to drink, okay, so they're going to collapse otherwise. So then you may feel like, all right, this is something I really am obligated to do. But when you escort them out, you're showing that you really are machshav them as people, that you really care about them as individuals and you want to hear more and you wish you could stay longer. So that takes things to a whole different level. And this, as a model, completes the picture of what he's doing here as an act of chesed. And it's extremely impressive and instructive to us, and it's placed here in this context. And it's fascinating to note, I'll just mention quickly, that there is something about the story that might be a little bit disturbing. That here we said at the beginning, Avram is looking for recipients of chesed, and that's what he's granted. But it seems to be a hoax, that they weren't actually people. They didn't really need anything. So not everybody would be so happy with that. Not everybody would feel like they were really given what they asked for. I remember someone once asked me a question of ethics and psychological studies. They did a psychological study where they left wallets lying around to see who would extend themselves to return them. And somebody asked, is that ethical to draw on people's sense of kindness and service when they're not really actually in need. It's all just a test. So the point, it seems a little bit like Kadosh Baruch Hu did that here, because Avraham is looking for chesed, and it's kiilu there was an actor hired to pretend to be needy and to take your money. Most of us wouldn't be too happy about that if we were really looking to give tzedakah. But we don't find that Avraham is too upset about this. And I think there are at least two reasons why. Some of the Sfarim note there are at least two reasons you could focus on why this was not a disappointment to Avraham. So one is that his desire to engage in chesed, it's true that he wants to help people, but as an act of halachta bedrachav, as an act of imitating God, this is a constant exercise. He needs to constantly work on his chesed muscle. And therefore, he's saying that even if there's nobody who needs anything today because it's so hot, nobody's traveling, but I'm going to atrophy. I'm going to fall out of practice. I need to have a workout partner. I need to be able to continue to study chesed through practice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, here you go. You have your workout partner so that you can continue your ongoing project to be godlike. But perhaps also is the component of chinuch that we mentioned before. And we see that he involved Yishmael in the process, that it was crucial to him that there should always be this act of chesed being displayed, not just taught as a message, but also shown and actively performed with the children's involvement, so that that should be their continuing growth. And he didn't want to miss a day of school. He didn't want to have to just go to Zoom, or not even Zoom. They wouldn't have to have school at all. So he wanted to make sure to be able to continue that chesed in a demonstrative way. And so, as I mentioned, the yard site of my mother-in-law, who was a tremendously learned woman who was devoted to chesed and kindness of her family and her community, and made sure to model that to everyone who was privileged to witness. And this is the message of Avraham Avinu, that to have chesed in the active sense, as an appreciation for what it does to your personality and what it does to your soul and what it does to teach others, is so crucial to who we are. So much so that we'll just end on this note, that that is where Avraham earns his place in history. And that's what these next psukim say, the psukim that are ready here on the screen, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says he had to tell Avraham about the plan for his dome. Pasuk Yizayin there, Hamachasani Avraham Asher Ani Oseh, how can I hide from him what I'm going to do? But Avraham Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol V'Atzum V'Nivruchu V'O Kol Goy Haaretz, he's going to be an amazing nation and everyone is going to be blessed by him. Here, this next Pasuk is the Yikr Ki Yidativ L'man Asher Yitzav V'Ez Bona V'Ez Beiso Acharov V'Shamru Derech Hashem L'Aso Stoko Mishbot L'man Hevi Hashem Hal Avraham Eis Asher Dibro Lav. So I know about him that he is the one who will not only engage in chesed, but he's going to instruct this to his household, to those future generations, and to those who are with him now, as Bonavi, as Beso Achrav, that what should they do? V'shamru darach Hashem la'asu stakom mishpat, that they should act with kindness and with justice towards humanity. That's the message he's going to transmit. So he's the one. That's where the Jewish people are going to come from this lesson that Avraham has brought into his whole existence. The Mesh Chachma writes over here that this is the source for the mitzvah of chinuch, the idea that you have to raise a family of chesed and of devotion is based on this pasuk, that this is what we learn from Avraham Avinu. So it's a tremendous experience to be able to ponder the detail that we find in this week's parsha, and to have it repeated in our Kriyas HaTorah four times this week. So there's definitely an effort to get this point across, and I thank you so much for listening tonight, and to Rabbi Bernstein for the opportunity to be able to share this with you. And I hope that through the continued examination of these psukim, hopefully you'll come up with more ideas and more insights as to what the messages are. And this whole process of building on top of the foundation that was there to gain greater and greater insights into the mitzvah of chesed, that's what we're here for, and that should continue to be our chelek as the Am that brings God's word to the world.